guest today?
Our second guest is a poet, Salvatore Morisi. Mary, I'm not sure I pronounced his last name. Anyway, Sneezing Coyotes. It's a very interesting collection of poems. And so a little bit of background on Salvador. This is his fourth book of poetry. He was a 2010 Midwest Writing Center poet in residence, has judged poetry contests, placed in poetry contests, both teaches workshops and attends poetry workshops. His poetry has appeared in Toasted Cheese, Spillway, Prairie Gold, and it, which is an anthology of the American heartland, of burgers and bar rooms, and a Main Street Rag anthology. I mean, you know, it's well, the things that he's been in, that he's appeared in, have said it's a, he has a very wide range of interests and abilities in writing poetry. So we welcome him today.
Welcome back to Writer's Voices, Sal.
Thank you, and thank you for inviting me. This is going to be fun.
Now,
I like doing this.
I think we
talking to you.
We like talking to you too. Now, I think we spoke in, I think 2014 or something, and 2017.
Yeah.
And 2017, it was with your collection Fermentations. And
right.
What was 2014?
That was Swiss Schrote and Smith book. And it was also published by Ice Cube Press, and it had a little bit different flavor than this book regarding subject matters. That book was, I'd say, about 80% kind of fun poems, you know, poems like my great uncle Luigi in Sicily, who rode a bicycle up to the day he died at 96 years old and never took a pill in his life. So it's a good book.
And what was that one called again?
Swiss, Swirl, and Sniff.
Right, right. Now this, Sneezing Coyotes, is a little darker.
Yes, it is.
It seems to be a lot about aging, death, and you know, the times that we live in right now. The pandemic.
Yeah, I hope the aging part is not too depressing in a book, you know, because we all do age. And, I hope it's not too depressing. You know, I believe in aging. You got to keep your mind and body active. Like, I belong to a sea kayaking group down here, and one of the guys there is 80 years old. I'm 66 years old. I'm one of the youngest people kayaking, and we do like 8 to 10 miles kayaks on the Gulf, in the Gulf itself. But, you know, as you mentioned, I had a poem, a couple poems by my friend George, and it's about him, negotiating his cancer that he had. And I try to make it so that, you know, he was a very active physical person, and then he shows how he just kind of got his mind aligned and said, okay, I have this cancer, but what else can I do? You know, I can't scuba dive anymore. I can't really work in the garden anymore. And he turned into poetry. And so, you know, and he was very good poet too, and was very content, and he was happy to write poetry. And I, you know, I hope that book shows, you know, how he adapted to his physical ailments. And, you know, and he didn't show it off, his physical ailments. He didn't even talk about it. Sometimes he didn't even know that he, you know, his cancer was growing all over him inside his body. So, you know, I just hope that people do see some positive stuff in it.
So that's Man in Tropical Shirts Writes Poetry. Is that one of the poems about him? Do you want to read that one for us?
Sure. I'll be happy to.
Great.
Okay. Here we are. Glowpop George, I met him at the Palm Beach Poetry Festival, which is actually held in Delray Beach, Florida, which is just right across the state. And since Illinois is, or Florida is pretty narrow, it's not that far away. And then I found out that he comes to Naples for winter, and it's where I'm at. So we became friends. We invited him over for Christmas and, you know, things like that. So anyway, here we go. Man in tropical shirt writes poetry. Epigraph. I would believe in God, but no one can prove it. George Macon. George wears silk shirts, tailor cuts, birds, flowers align in the front where buttons fashion holes. He settles in his canvas chair on a pier where mangrove roots build islands. Sawgrass saws twin egrets laid. Inside a blue notebook, ink scripts his thoughts, synthesis about ecosystems, cultural, biodiversity, us, him. For 16 years, his missing and fused vertebrae induce stiffness. He can't swivel, bend, plant seeds, pick eggplant. Fluid fills his one lung. Overinflates if he scuba dives. Unwanted tissues grow, turns into hard lumps. Hurts beyond aches. He slows his body. He leans into a couch, lays laptop on his lap, taps keys, revises. Poems become his eternity.
So tell us, Sal, a little bit about the title of this collection and where it comes from, Sneezing Coyotes.
Yeah. It's a title that sounds funny. And Sneezing Coyotes, and it has a almost a folk art cover to it. And once we decided on the title, and then we decided on the cover. You know, the title, Sneezing Coyotes, people always laugh, oh, that sounds great. You got to pick it up. And the cover's kind of a folk cover. And so, like a folk art cover. And it gives the impression this is going to be nice and happy and light and everything. And then the poem, and Sneezing Coyote is the title of one of my poems in the book, and it's all about burying my cat and sprinkling pepper on the soil. Even though I knew I dig the hole deep enough that no coyote could get at it, I put layers of pepper over 3 or 4 scoops of soil. And so I figured if they're going to come by and want to sniff out my kitty cat, they're going to be sneezing their heads off.
Oh. Well, do you want to share that one with us? Would you like to read that one?
Sure, I'll be happy to. Sneezing Coyotes, page 13. Sneezing Coyotes. Day before the vet injects barbiturates on top of Valium, damp autumn dusk settles in the prairie behind my house. Whiskey burns my belly. I dig her grave thigh deep. Tonight, the moon's surface reflects the sun. spread silvery lights over native plants. Coyotes sniff the hole's fresh-turned soil. Today, the last heat this black cat will generate leaves, passes through her cardboard coffin, warms my lap. Ruby curls as if asleep in her basket on the windowsill. Except wrapped in a minor league baseball t-shirt my brother bought me. Kathy and I blanket her with a slip. Ruby slept on when I held her pillow cushioned against mine. I lie on my stomach at the hole's edge, box wedges against walls, shovels, chisels, one side, 5 inches, carton slides, bottoms. Kathy shakes a black pepper tin, grinds fall on the thick paper. Every 6 scoops of earth, she scatters more powder to the last shake, dust the last layer of soil. And so that's my poem.
Sneezing coyotes. And have you ever seen a coyote sneeze?
No, but I saw on no, I have not. I've seen them in my backyard, little prairie back there up north.
Mm-hmm.
But I seen hound dogs sneeze one time, and it was a movie. Don't remember the name of it. I was a little kid back then, and I think it was Paul Newman or Steve McQueen, one of the two. They escaped prison. Or he escaped prison, I don't remember exactly, and he ran up, he found this one kid, and he goes, hey, you want to see some dogs making some funny noises? Take that pepper and pour it all over the pathway. And so that stuck with me. So answer the question, no, I never saw a coyote sneeze, but I've seen hound sneeze in a movie.
And so, is that a thing that people out in the country do if they're burying something? Put pepper on it so that animals don't dig it up?
I think I'm the only person that knows about it.
Well, you may be starting a trend here.
I may be starting
a good idea. Mm-hmm.
And pepper's still pretty cheap in a store, so it won't cost that much too. But
yep.
I just hope you don't have to do it soon. Barry, when you're...
Yeah. So, Caroline, do you have some... poems you'd like to ask about?
Well, I want to tell you first something kind of interesting. My grandfather kept our dog once when we went somewhere, and he taught him how to sneeze when he wanted something from the table. A morsel from the table. He did. I don't know how he did that, but he did. That dog did sneeze. Oh, I enjoyed a lot of these poems. Oh, let's see. I wrote some down here.
Now, some of the poems are set in other countries, right?
Yeah.
It looked like you made a trip to Cambodia. So when was that?
Yes. That was, definitely was before COVID. It was the summer before COVID. What was about 2 years ago, I guess? 3 years ago.
So Cambodia and Vietnam.
Yeah, that was about 3 years ago, because about 2 years ago, then I was in Germany, so on vacation.
Hmm.
So and it was first time I ever been on a organized tour, except for a little 4 or 5 days in the Amazon, which was an open boat type of thing. We spent time in Hanoi, and then we went to Ho Chi Minh City, which is what's the name of that town? There's Hanoi, and then there's another famous town in Vietnam, Saigon.
Mm, right,
they changed
right,
the name.
Right.
And then we did the Mekong River, And then we spend the rest of the days, most of the days, on the Mekong River, going down the river. So it was a very interesting trip. It is not like I learned the culture per se, like I did when I was a Peace Corps volunteer in Guatemala, but I actually felt that I got a feel of the culture, and it was because the trip took us to places I learned. I don't think most companies would take their clients to, and we had some good tour guides too from the country, and you know they basically said, especially the one in Hanoi, said, if you got any questions about the government or whatever, wait till we're on the bus.
Uh-huh.
Don't ask those questions out loud on the street. But yeah, it was a good trip, and learn a lot.
Wow.
You know, and you learn culture of the people, and in Vietnam, the guide said, right now the people are happy. He said, my generation, and I say it was probably about 30 or so. He said, we're the first generation in centuries that are not at war in Vietnam.
Oh, gosh.
And
oh,
if you look
gosh.
At that, yeah, this was, you know, before us was the French, and before that was the Chinese. I mean, it was just a really, they don't know what peace is. This is the very first time they have peace. And so the people seem to be, as much as I could tell, pretty much all right, having communist government. But we were at one time, though, at a, shouldn't wrote a poem about later, that we were at the government complex area in Hanoi, and there was a group of people sitting silently in front of one of the buildings. And he didn't mention anything about it. But then when we got on the bus, he goes, those people, they were doing silent protests. As soon as they get up and leave, there's a bus waiting to pick them up and take them to jail.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's interesting, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But.
So, Caroline, did you find the ones you were going to ask about?
Yeah. On page 30, transport, I thought was very meaningful.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Okay. I didn't think people would pick this phone, but thank you.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. And I can tell you where this poem came from. Transport. Farmers' switches makes Iowa pigs walk ramps. Each adds decency inside trailers. Those who can stick snouts in slits of metal walls. Jules forced to climb into freight cars, pressed against wood walls, inhaled air leaked through cracks. All howled their fears, they want for water. And
where
you know,
did
this,
that poem come from?
Well, driving along I-80 with all these livestock trucks, with all these animals stuck inside of them, like
mm-hmm.
the pigs. You see that
mm-hmm.
quite often. And then the movie Schindler's List got the
yeah.
second stanza. Jules forced yeah. to climb into cars. Because I remember the scene that they were loading them on the freight cars and they're traveling through to the concentration camp, and they were trying to get any ice they can to drink or suck on because it was freezing in there. And that's how that poem came by. When I saw those pigs in those trucks, those trailers, and I'm seeing them, you see them all the time when you're traveling in the Midwest.
Yeah.
It just kind of reminded me of what I saw in that movie, Silver's List. And
you know what?
Yeah.
When those trucks stop, then it gets very hot in there because there's no air going through. And those pigs are in agony. They're agony. And you can tell. Right. You can hear them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And then we eat them.
Yeah.
It was just kind of scary. Oh, I'm not wanting to be a vegetarian or anything, but, you know, you're eating stress. When we get stressed, the whole body's freaked out, and they're stressed out, and that's what we're eating, too. So.
Yep.
Boy, you are very cheerful today, Sal.
I have some fun poems near the end.
All right, let's have a fun poem.
Okay, this is one that, let's see. Okay, I have a poem about cooking, lineages, brushing eyelids, change landscapes, long cultures, desertification. Okay, sorry.
How about Larry?
Larry's a fun poem.
Okay. All right.
Larry's a fun poem, and this is page 68. This is the Pantoum, P-A-N-T-O-U-M, form. It's the only book that has a formal form in it. I still like to say my poems have some craft in it, like a lot of good line breaks and near rhymes, so forth. But what it is lines repeating. You add two new lines after each stanza, and then the old lines will alternate with the new lines. And so it sounds like there's some repetition in it. I did change some lines around a little bit, just so it won't get too obnoxious of repetition and help it make a little more sense.
Okay.
Larry, thank you, Larry, for Facebooking me. At age 7, we bought a box mix, griddle pancakes. Around the time I punched you in the nose to a bled, I lost you, but you stay friends with me. At age 7, we bought a box mix, griddle pancakes. We scramble eggs, but never bake. I boss you, but you stay friends with me. We garbage pick, found Playboys, gawk under trees. As kids, we scramble eggs, yet we never baked. You became a chef, mastered rural cuisines, seared steaks. Many years before, we garbage picked, found Playboys, gawked. You quit being a chef because you wanted family time. You became a chef, master rural cuisines, seared steaks. Before you bought an air and heat shop, before you had spare time. You quit the chef gig because you wanted to be with family. Now you keep people comfortable without ripping them off. You bought an air and heat shop, started volunteering. Communities prize you citizen businesses awards. Now you keep customers comfortable without ripping them off. Grateful people want to shake your hand. Communities prize your citizen and businesses awards. If we meet, will you punch my nose, make it bleed? Will you want to shake my hand? We have not seen each other over 50 years. If we meet, will you punch my nose? When we were 7, I punched yours to a bled. We have not seen each other for 50 plus years. Thank you, Larry, for Facebooking me.
And that's one of the great things about Facebook is being able to reconnect with people from so long ago.
Right, right.
Right, Caroline?
Yeah. As long as the hackers don't get in.
Yeah.
On.
Yeah.
Right.
Hackers. Yeah.
So that's the guy who used to live across the street from me. And I definitely haven't seen him for so long. He kind of split apart when high school came because he went to a different high school.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was kind of a fun poem, tried to write it. I was in some workshop. I came out of a workshop. And I guess around the time he Facebooked me, I go, you know, there's something in this. So that's a poem that came out.
So this is your fourth poetry collection that you've published?
Is yes, correct.
And have they all been with Ice Cube Press?
Every book's been with Ice Cube Press. I'm blessed that Steve and I, you know, yes, every book.
Wow.
And, I met Steve at the Midwest Writing Center conference, David Collins Writing Conference. And he heard of me, or he saw me the year before when we had an open mic at a conference. And then he was teaching or taking, I think he was teaching at that, or just taking blurbs or whatever for books. And then he heard about me later on because I was Midwest Writing Center poet in residence. And he saw me there and said, come to my class. Okay. So I went to his class. I didn't pay for it, but come to my class. And so I sat there anyway. And it was really how to solicit a publisher. And so he taught another free class that night at the conference, and then I went out for beers with him, and afterwards him and my writing instructor at that time, and he said, I showed him some places I got published, and he said, I'll do your book. I go, what? He goes, it'll be good. Make it short. I'm busy. Yes, I know you're busy. And so the first book was a chapbook, meaning a short book between most publishers. Chapbook is between 18 to 25 poems. I think it has 18 poems in it. And it was about nature, spirituality. And we sold like 75 copies within the first 2 weeks. And I go, was that good, Steve? Because that's excellent for poetry. And we actually ran out of books, so we had to order more books.
Wow.
And, so we became good friends. We've done some bike rides together and everything. And then he said, well, I want another book. And I go, this is like within 3 weeks after Mortals came. I go, what? I only have poems. And I did have a lot of poems sitting around. And that's when Swiss Surreal Sniff came out, a couple of years after that.
Awesome.
So,
well, we've certainly enjoyed the books that we've received from Ice Cube Press. They're an Iowa-based independent press. They do a wonderful job. And so the title of this one is Sneezing Coyotes. You can go to the Ice Cube Press .com website to order it if it's not available in your local bookstore. And unfortunately, we're out of time for today, but it was lovely to have
you.
Yeah, already. So, but it was great to have you back. And Caroline, do you have some closing words for us?
Yes, this is a quote from Wordsworth. Poetry is a spontaneous overflow of powerful feelings. It takes its origin from emotion recollected in tranquility.
Mm. That's a
nice
description of poetry. Well, thank you once again for being with us, Sal, and good luck with your next book. See you all next week on Writer's Voices.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.